Good morning, all. We're going to start in Romans 12. It's always nice to be here and talk to the home people. The brothers and sisters at home. When I first started preaching and teaching and stuff like that, the Romans 12, 1 and 2, I found it hard not to put that into the message. So here it is again. So we're going to read a bunch in Romans 12, and we're going to jump around a little bit. And we're going to talk about unity and working together. So here we go. Start in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that is good, acceptable, and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done. We thank you for this time that we have to come before you and learn more about you and just to worship you. And we thank you for the brothers and sisters that are here. And please be your word spoken and not mine. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. So I want to start off with this little story. It's a very little story, but it's about four people named Everybody, Somebody, and Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that, because it was everyone's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. It's a little confusing. You want me to read it again? I'll do it again. It took me a couple times to get it. So the story about four people. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job that had to get done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. So in life, we kind of see that often, that there's a job to be done, and it seems like anybody could do it, but a lot of times it just sits there. And being in the Christian faith and going through church for years and years and stuff, and we always hear, well, I'll pray for you, and or just let God handle it. But there's some actions that need to be done, right? So when do we act? When do we back off? And when is it that we like just need to go, even though it may not be our job? We have the little outreach coming up, right? And there's many ideas. It's a new outreach for us. We've never done this one before. So there's going to be a lot of unknowns for us. And a lot of that we have to just rely on God. It's almost every idea that I've been listening, not that I've been to the meetings, but I've been listening on the Skype, and everyone has good ideas, but we don't know what's coming. So we really have to just rely on God and put our faith that God's not going to give us anything we can't handle, right? So if it doesn't go smoothly, it doesn't go smoothly. But we're doing an act for God, for the furtherance of his gospel. And anybody could do that, right? Anybody could do an act further. But somebody and anybody, we could do it. But what are we going to do? So so here is now the time for faith, right? When I was listening to books about like leadership and things like that, and they always say if you don't fail often, you're not ever trying anything new. So go out and fail, and then see what happens. I used to have a poster in my room of Michael Jordan. And it said how many shots he missed. And it was a lot of shots. Kobe Bryant was like the same number. It was some crazy number. 20,000 shots he missed. And the poster I had, it said, with Michael Jordan, I was trusted with the game-winning shot 85 times. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was like, I was trusted with the game-winning shot 85 times. I failed 57. And that is why I succeed. So when we're going through life and we fail and we feel like it's, you know, not going to happen for us, that's when we really have to look at God. You think of that, the poem, when God carried the person with the footsteps. It was, you know, I was going through the troubled times and I only saw the one footsteps. And the Lord said, that's when I carried you. So when we're doing this, you know, Romans 12:9 right there, it says, let love be genuine. If we have genuine love and we truly love people and the people we're working with, and it's all going to fall in place. When you mess up and you're doing something in love and the person knows that you love them, and you mess up, the person cares and appreciates that just as much as if everything went perfect. You know, when I was trying to, even when I tried to propose to my wife, it didn't exactly go as the way I planned it, but it all worked out. She said no at first, and then I, you know, forced her. But she knew I was doing it in love, and everything worked out accordingly. This morning, we happened to talk about foundations and stones and things like that. Ephesians 2:18. Let's just turn to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 2:18. I'll just read a couple of the verses. Ephesians 2:18. I'll start in 16. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So when you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the structure being joined together grows into the holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And then, yeah, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 3:10. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, as we know, foundations are super important. If we know the parable about the person that built the house on the sand and then built the house on the rock, right? I had the pleasure of working with this guy that makes break walls at the ocean. And you have to take... We went to the quarry every day, and he was like, all right, let's pick out some stones. And my first day, I had no idea what he was talking about. What is a good stone compared to a bad stone? Made no difference to me. They were all just stones. So he was like, oh, this is a great stone, and he would put it in the truck. And he was like, oh, that's a great stone. He's like, put this in the truck. So we were getting all these stones, and then we were building this small little wall, and every stone is different, right? And we had to take it and, like, take the chisel and hammer, and you'd put it in its place, and it wouldn't fit good, so then you'd take the chisel and hammer and break it up, put it back on, and you would do this multiple times until it fit really well. Even when it fit really well, sometimes it would still, like, wiggle a little bit. So he would... All the little pieces that we chipped off, we would take those little pieces and we would, like, jam them into the little cracks and crevices. And he says, this is good friction right here. He's like, this is what we want. We want good friction in the wall so that once you have that stone in the wall, it doesn't move at all. And sometimes it takes the big piece, but a lot of times it takes all the little pieces to get it to not move. So when you're doing a project and, you know, there's a person in charge of a big piece, but it's those little pieces that go into the slots that make the wall better. So when we have a project and you only have time or whatever allows you to do something little, it doesn't mean it's not helping the wall. It's all those little things put together that make everything work correctly. So if you have a little time or a lot of time, when there's a Lord's project, or even if you're trying to witness to someone, every little chip in that wall helps out. I know that I got the pleasure of golfing with a pastor recently, and then... When you go golfing, a lot of times you go with four people. So it was me, the pastor guy, and then two others. And I was like, how do you know them? And he was like, well, they've been going to church, but they're not. One of them isn't saved, so I'm trying to get them to be saved and have that personal relationship. And the whole time we golfed, he didn't say much about anything. The guy ended up bringing up random things about God. And it was just, it wasn't a lot, but it was a little bit. And it got the guy kept on thinking about, you know, the Lord and biblical things, and we were able to do examples throughout the day. But those little things, it's now becoming part of that guy's life, at least for that day. The Lord was part of his life for a good portion of that day. And those little things, I think, will turn into something else. Because, you know, at the end of the day, he was like, oh, I'll see you Sunday. And if I don't see you Sunday, I'll be there Wednesday at the... They're having some, singing thing going on Wednesday in a picnic. But he was all excited about it. So if you have that friend or relative or whatever that's not saved and you want to be saved, sometimes the little things, you just, you know, I'll pray for you, or the Lord really blessed you there. Those little comments can go a long way. So don't ever hold back because you don't think those little things, or you think you have to have a full conversation about it. So we have a big foundation. And it says there to have a foundation on Jesus Christ, verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How do we have a good foundation with Jesus Christ? There's another story about, there was this, I'm not going to read this whole story, I'm just going to paraphrase what happened. There's this lady, she ended up buying a property with her husband and family and things like that. And she bought a property, and it had a very big field. And she just, ever since she was a little kid, she always wanted this big field to do different things in. And when they bought the field, it was just like a big hay field. And her kids were young, and so throughout the day she took care of the immediate yard, but she kind of left the field alone. So time went on, and the field got out of control. It started getting saplings in it, those little trees, and all these different things. And so time came where she's like, I really want to get this field done. My kids are older now. I have a little bit more time. And so she tried all different things. She got on her hands and knees, and she started pulling the weeds. And she worked on it 2-3 hours, and she got up, and she looked, and she didn't even make a dent. So she asked for some help. Some brothers from the church came over, and, you know, they brought some tools and stuff, and they made a good dent in it, but she was like, this is going to be a lot of work. And she said, I really want to do this outreach on the field next year. Or the year after. So she continued to work at it, and she finally found the correct tool for the job. And so she worked on it with this tool, and then finally she worked on it for 2 to 3 hours, 5 days a week. She finally got most of the field set. But now she had all the piles of just debris left over. So she's like, how am I going to get this done? So for the next couple months, she decided, I'm going to work 15 minutes to 30 minutes a day and just work on the field, and we'll just see what happens. So sure enough, she did that, 15 minutes to 30 minutes, and it ended up accomplishing her entire goal with only 15 to 30 minutes a day. So if you work on something for 15 to 30 minutes a day, that works out to be over 100 hours a year. And if you work on anything for around 100 hours a year, most people would end up being professional or very skilled in that, whatever they're doing. So if we'll just say if you're a volleyball player and you worked on it 15 to 30 minutes, you will end up being better than somebody that doesn't do that 15 or 30 minutes a day. The other thing that makes that part of that person's life is doing that particular thing. So if we spend 15 to 30 minutes with God a day, which isn't a ton of time, whether it be praying or reading or worshiping, that's over 100 hours a year, that ends up being a pretty firm foundation. Instead of taking, you know, it's good to have full days of God and go to church for a long time and things like that, but make it a part of your life and things will get accomplished. Think of that movie. It was when the guy was in prison and he escaped. I forgot the name of the movie. Shawshank, yeah, Shawshank. And how he, like, picked at the wall. And then he would go into the yard and he emptied his pockets every day. And it just little bits at a time. And it just continued and continued to, and he made that big hole in the wall. And he didn't tell anybody about it, but it worked, right? And he went out there and he spread the little bits every day and nobody even noticed. So whether small or large, I'm encouraging you to step out of your comfort zone and just talk about God to somebody, or even if it's another Christian. Because once you start talking to God to Christians, because that's a little bit easier because you already know that they, you know, have, it'll be easier talking to someone that doesn't. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various of tongues, to interpret, to the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individual as he wills. Verse 12, for just as the one body, for the body is one, I'm sorry, I'll start that over. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So, we are a team. Whether we like it or not, God put us together. And I know I think of you all as family. And when you do projects and different things, there's going to be struggles. There's going to be, you know, you're going to get aggravated over certain things. I remember just doing the VBS when we had lots of kids. There was always things that just went wrong, right? I was so proud of my brother. The one time he called me up and he had to kick in the shed door, and because nobody had the key, or we couldn't find the key or something. And I was so proud he actually was able to kick it in. and then someone had to fix it after, and it's just, we all had to work together. And you know what it is when family is, you know, sometimes the girls, and they'll get aggravated with each other. But a lot of times you take aggravation out in the people that you're closest with. I don't know why we do that, but we, you know, it's just human nature. It's just what we do. And if we ever recognize that we ended up being aggravated at the person closest, you know, as a Christian, we probably should go over and say sorry and things like that if we recognize it. Or if you're cranky. It's hard when you're cranky to admit that you're cranky. But after the fact, and then if that does happen, the person should be gracious to forgive. In Colossians 3, sorry for all the jumping around, but in Colossians 3, in verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And the part right there is really seek things that are above where Christ is and set your mind on things that are above. You know, think back to when you first got saved or first asked the Lord into your heart. What was your mindset then? What was it like, and what were you like? Did you had this zeal to want to learn more, right? You at times, like, you couldn't get enough of God. How do we have that in our mind all the time? How do we get back to, well, I just want to learn more. I want to learn more. I want to give to God. What can I give to God that he doesn't already have? We think back to, you know, in we had September 11th, right? And after September 11th happened, it seemed like the whole nation unified. And everybody was friends and waved, and everyone was nice to each other for the most part. And as time went on, it just got worse and worse. Like, that didn't happen anymore. And not that we would ever want something like that to happen again, but it was afterwards, like, everyone was so nice and, you know, patriotic or whatever. It was nice. It was a nice feeling that, like, the other person you knew had your back if something was going on at that time. So how do we do that all the time? And we really got to get back to the basics in that foundation. You know, does being a Christian, there's a, people say, like, oh, you're religious or whatever, being, and it's not really a religion, it's a way of life. It's the same thing when, if you're trying to do a diet or something like that, if you work out with Brother Pete and you have a soda before you work out with him, it's not going to go well for you. So, you know, you have to eat accordingly when you work out your body. So just having a diet, typically a diet fails in, what is it, 6 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that? It's pretty quick. And then, like, New Year's resolutions and things like that, it's typically most people break it before January is over with. And then you have the Lent, right? It's like, what, is it 40 days? It's only 40 days for a reason, because going any past that, it's much more difficult. You know, to start a bad habit, it takes a few days. To start a good habit, it takes 3 to 4 weeks to get it set. So I know most of you in here, you make God a very large part of your life, and that's great. And we also, like, we also don't have to just talk about to another person. Little things to get people interested in God is just leading by example. So how do we react when something goes bad? In Colossians 3, we'll go down to 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The next verse is wives submit. So in there, do everything, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Before you ever do a project, when you do it for God, a lot of times you will say to yourself, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. When you're going around doing just your random other chores, is that on your mind? I know it's not on my mind. But are you doing it at 100% for the Lord? Everything you do it 100%. Can you imagine if you went back in life and then everything you did through your entire life, you did it as best as you could? What would have happened? I know in school, I maybe gave 20%. And then there were certain subjects that I liked that I would probably give like 30, 40%. And then if it was, but I gave 100% trying to get out of class or mess up the class somehow. I remember we had one contest to see how many times you could walk around the room without the teacher noticing. In every one of those competitions, I won because I really tried. But if it was trying to get 100 on a test, I didn't really care. But if I was to go back and if I was to do everything the way the Lord did it or wanted us to do it, where would I be now? Or what would be different? You know, if you think about when Jesus came here, there wasn't one time that you can say Jesus gave just half effort in that. You know, he wasn't here for a long time, and when he went around preaching and teaching and stuff, he only did it for, 3 years or so? And he had all of those parables and all those things in the Gospels that was talked through his life and all the things that he did, and it's just like, he fit a lot in 3 years. And because he gave everything. And can we do that? And do we care enough to give 100%? And then it comes back to that Romans 12, 1 and 2, to present your body as a living sacrifice. You know, it doesn't say, like, give half your body. It's everything. We just sang that song, I Surrender All. And we used to sing it in high school. And we used to actually change the word all to some, because we don't really surrender all. We give some. We give, you know, what we feel like is good at the time. So today is like a challenge and an encouragement. The challenge is to, from now on, give your 100% and do everything for God. Get back to the beginning of when you first got saved and you had that zeal and that passion and just wanting to know more, but also wanting to give to God. You know, when we come to church, I was having a conversation with two young kids. They're just out of high school, And they were talking about church. And they were like, well, I like this church for this reason. And I like that church for that reason. And then and they were going back and forth. And they were having a great conversation. And the kid looked at me and he says, Coach, what do you think about church? And I was like, well, both of you just talked about what you're getting from church. And the music was good at this one. And like the people were good at this one, but not one of you mentioned of what you gave to God at either one of those places. And the one kid goes, wow, you just hurt me. But it's, you know, that kind of convicted me too. That was the Lord telling me to tell him that. I wasn't thinking that beforehand or anything, but, you know, what is it that we gave to God recently? And was it 100% effort? So that's the challenge, to give that 100%. The encouragement is, I know a lot of you in here do things like that. And when there is a project, you do give 100%. And, you know, in the past, like, some people would get upset about certain things. You know what? That's because you're fully invested and 100% in. And you want things to go right. So that's understandable. When you're in a athletic event or a sporting event and you're given 100%, something doesn't go right, you get upset. So that's completely understandable. So that's a good, not necessarily that you got upset, but it's a good thing that you have that focus and that want that everything goes right. So in this new project that we're doing, you know, that we don't know some things, here's where our faith comes in. You know, rely on God. Certain things that we don't know, we are going to have faith. Doesn't mean we don't try to prepare for them and say like, well, we're just going to do this and we'll just see how it goes when it gets here. Like we're still going to have to plan and do all that. But know that you know, God will take care of us on those unknowns. We set that strong foundation, and with those, the big projects and the little projects, we have that good friction. And as we are all members of one another, we're working together. Remember, when we are working together, even the little things matter. So add those little things. Even if you don't think it's much, add them. If you have a, you know, something that you don't know if it would work, ask one of the people that are leading it if you think it would work, if you think it would help, because at least they'll know the idea. But give where you can. Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. So constantly try to outdo each other in honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. So don't be lazy. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. You know, it's be constant in prayer. That sometimes can be tough too, because a lot of times we just call on God when we need him. It's very important when you have a relationship, you want to be consistently talking with whoever you're in that relationship with. If long periods go by, you have to kind of catch back up, right? But if you're constantly in that relationship, things seem to go a little smoother because you know what to expect and what's going on. So be constant in prayer. Take that 15 minutes or 30 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be at the same time. It could be multiple times a day. But set your firm foundation and make it your life, which I know a lot of you do already. But just another challenge to maybe pray more and pray constantly. So when you're going through the day, we'll just read that. I'm going to read the story of the four people again. And just remember that there are jobs that anybody could do, but go and do it. The story about the four people, everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. So, even though anybody could do it, let's go do the Lord's work together. So, let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we could have. We thank you that we're able bodies, that we could do projects. And please help that when we do the project, everything will go smoothly, that we'll rely on you. And for the unknowns, that you will help us be prepared in a way that will be comfortable, even though that we don't know everything, and that we know you know everything, and you know what's coming, you know what we need. And please just be with us, and please help us reach out to the community, and give us what we can handle, and that it may be a wonderful time of fellowship and giving back to you. And we thank you for this day and the people here. In the name of Christ we pray.